factors is you go down to the store.
Nah, let's not do it.
We're waiting for the testifier to take her position. Ready?
I'm ready.
We'll call the Senate Resources Committee meeting to order. President Senator Pierce, Senator Elton, Senator Lincoln, and Senator Ferguson. We have one item on the agenda. It is House Bill 194, an act relating to fees for commercial fishing license and permits. Prime sponsor is Representative Stevens, who is here today to explain to us what the bill is. So if you'll join us at the table, sir, go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Senator. I know you had asked that Katrina testify today, but her voice is quickly departing her, and so I'm here as backup, and I hope you won't hold anything against this bill because of that. Senator, this is a fairly complex issue, but the House did pass it unanimously, so it can't be that complex, can it? We did understand it.
I wouldn't go that far.
HB 194 has a lot to do with, as you know, the 1982 Carlson class action suit. This is a class action suit by several fishermen that challenges the statutes, currently state statutes, that mandate charging out-of-state fishermen three times more than resident fishermen. And what the courts have told us is that this is simply not allowed. The court has told us that what we are charging by using this ratio winds up with excessive fees to non-residents in several fee classes. What they've said to us is that we can only use a differential based on the amount that residents pay for fisheries management more than non-residents pay. So this certainly does not in any way resolve the Carlson case. Eventually the court is going to rule what, if anything, the state owes in that case in terms of the fees that we have charged over the last several years. But this will stop us and or will cause us to stop adding to this potential debt. And it will stop the addition of 250 plaintiffs that have been added to this case every year and will probably continue being added every year as long as it goes on. HB 194 repeals this present statute that charges 3-to-1, and it replaces it with wording that allows us to charge non-residents, and what it says is, quote, the maximum amount allowed by the law. Now, this issue has already been to the Supreme Court twice, not just the Superior Court, but also the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled that we must use the formula, and then they remanded it back to the state Superior Court and told them to work out budget categories. The state's attorney, Steve White, who's with us here today, has argued this in the Superior Court and has argued that there are really six budget categories, and these are categories that the state should be able to use when we charge non-residents more than residents. In June of 2000, the Superior Court said that we could charge fees based on two of those categories, only two of those six categories. They did not allow the other four categories. Now, we know if this stands that the cost to the state could be around $22.5 million, and actually that's the figure as of March 15th when we were asked for this figure, March 15th of 2001, and we know that figure is going up every day. The state will be appealing this case and this decision in the state Supreme Court, and we'll be trying to get these other four categories included in the formula, and we'll also be appealing, Steve White will be also appealing the prejudgment interests that have been included, and what the state is trying to do is get to the point that there are no interest charges. I just wanted you to know that even today, if you were a fisherman and went down to the to get your limited entry permits, you would be charged 3-to-1. That's the statute they are now operating under, continue to operating under, despite the fact that we've had this court ruling. And what, of course, that is doing is just adding to that tremendous liability that we owe and will be increasing as time passes. What this bill will do is to allow the CFEC to stop charging 3-to-1 and to begin to charge the maximum amount that is constitutional. If this bill is passed, then the CFEC will begin to use the fee structure that the court has told us is permissible. At the same time, the Department of Law will continue trying to get those other four categories into the formula and also reduce interest charges. So HB 194 will help us resolve our problems. It will not create, hopefully, any more problems for us. It will get rid of that 3-to-1 ratio. It shows that we are acting in good faith with the courts. It shows that when we realized what our liability was, that we took steps to correct things. It stops adding to our liability each year. More than $1 million a year has been added into our liability, and as well as that 10.5% interest that we're being charged. You see, in the end, it just does not get us anywhere to stick with the present statute. With what the courts have already ruled on, we know we will have to change our statutes because we know we have to use a formula that will allow us to calculate that differential. This allows us to solve the questions the courts have already ruled on, and it also gives us a certain amount of flexibility to charge as much as the law will allow to non-residents when the Supreme Court makes its final ruling and allows us to use these additional budget categories. I want to point out to you that in the House Finance, the language was added in Section 5. Section 5 makes a very strong statement in support of all six of these budget categories, saying the state should be allowed to use all six of those. I think in the end, Mr. Chairman, this bill does not, in fact, weaken our case. In fact, if we pass this bill, it will strengthen our position, it will strengthen the state's position as we go on to appeal this case in the Alaska Supreme Court. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions? Certainly.
And that was one of the questions I was going to ask you, is that by passing this legislation, does it do anything to weaken or to nullify any of the court action right now? And you said that it would strengthen it. Maybe you could expound a little bit more on that. And the second question that I had is, do you have any opposition out there from Fisher groups at all to this piece of legislation?
Thank you, Senator Lincoln. It's a very good question because, first, about the strengthening it, whether it weakens or strengthens our position, that's a really important question. And I think you might want to talk to Steve White, who's going to be defending it and can certainly address that probably more adequately than I can. But what I can tell you is that it does not admit any guilt. It does not say that the state was wrong in doing what we did. It simply says that we will now move on at the direction of the court and try to use all six of these categories. The categories are quite broad, you know, things like hatcheries issue, the money we put into hatcheries, the money we put into research, the money we put into fishing game, the money we put into infrastructure, all of those things are in different categories. And I'm sure you might want to look through those, or you might want to have Mr. White explain them to you. But I think in the end, it does strengthen our case. It does not weaken it. It puts us in a better position. Your second question had to do with opposition to this. We have not received any strong opposition to it. In fact, the United Fishermen's Association, I think Jerry McQuarrie is here today, and would I'm sure be glad to speak to that. The United Fishermen's Association has supported it, and in fact has been instrumental in helping us get to this point of presenting the bill, and has willingly agreed to increase cost to fishermen in order to put more money eventually into commercial fisheries.
Let me focus you on page 6, line 17. Maybe you know this one. Why are we limiting the deposit in the fisherman's fund to $50 instead of, we were putting a total of 39% in it? Doesn't this
short fund, the Fisherman's Fund?
Thank you, Senator Torgerson. Actually, no, it does not. In fact, if we were to fund it as it is now, without, well, actually, this was an amendment that occurred in, it was in House Finance, wasn't it? But, it actually keeps from putting more money into the Fisherman's Fund than we need to put. If we leave it as it is, there'd be more money in there than necessary. And the understanding I have is that if we can limit it to not to exceed $50 for each license holder, then any additional funds will be put right into commercial fisheries, or eventually into commercial fisheries. So it's not needed. The Fisherman's Fund does not need that additional funding. And it holds it harmless as well.
And I'll debate that with you in a minute, or I'll have Kevin or somebody see if their position. But Section 7, what are we repealing there? You mentioned one, but I haven't had a chance to look at what all we're repealing. Do you have that? I assume one was the old system that we were doing.
Yeah, I'd actually defer that to.
Okay, I didn't get a chance to.
Senator.
Okay. Any other questions for these folks? Okay, who, Kevin, you want to, you got testimony? And Mr. White, you might as well come up with Kevin. We'll probably get to both of you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Kevin Brooks, Director of Administrative Services for Fish and Game. We also have Mary McDowell, one of the limited entry commissioners, that you probably want to hear from.
Okay.
In response to a couple of your specific questions, I can tell you that in Section 7, 1605.480 is a specific reference to crew member licenses in the Fish and Game statutes that address of $60 and $125, and so that would be replaced by part of this bill.
Okay.
Title 1643 deals specifically with limited entry permits, which again would be affected by sections of this bill. The question regarding Section 6 and capping the contribution to the Fisherman's Fund is similar to the discussion we had a couple years ago with SB 146. We raised the fees. As you may recall, we had a 60% contribution of that revenue to the Fisherman's Fund. We lowered it to 39. As a result of this bill, non-resident fees have potential to grow significantly. Current contributions on a resident crew member license is $23.25. On a non-resident, it's about $48.25. So we wanted to, again, hold that Fisherman's Fund harmless. But potentially the revenue to the Fisherman's Fund would grow significantly without any kind of a cap. So again, this would keep the per license contribution to the Fisherman's Fund. It would cap it at 50, so the resident could grow. It would have to more than double for the resident to reach this limit. But
why do we care if it grows?
I guess the answer to that is the fund is has been getting, we contribute, I think, about $800,000 in this from the crew licenses and about another $400,000 from limited entry permits, so about $1.2 million a year. The fund, in talking to the administrator of that fund, Paul Grossi, is in good shape. There's no downside to letting that grow, but the other side of it would be that this revenue would then be deposited into the Fish and Game Fund, be available for subsequent appropriation by the legislature for commercial fishing management, similar to what was done in the bill that you had a couple years ago. And that's one of the reasons that the UFA has been supportive, that if this could turn into additional revenue for management of the fisheries, it's something that would be attractive to their members.
Do you remember the debate we had on whether or not it was even constitutional to change the percentage?
Yes.
I do believe one of the things that Baldwin was very clear of is we had to stay out of numbers and stick with the percentages. Because we were talking about fixing it at a certain level, and both sides, our legislative attorneys and Baldwin, researched that, and
we ended up sticking with percentages because of that. So now we're saying it's okay this year, but not okay last year.
Senator, we had those discussions both with legislative council and Mr. Baldwin. There's a couple lines of thought that go into that, and one is that, and I can't really speak to you on legal issues of dedicated funds, but if left unchecked, this fund would grow far, and it would actually contribute a lot more money into a dedicated fund, thereby limiting the appropriation powers of the legislature, because the money would be going directly in there. And one rationale in the capping of this is that it actually could help to strengthen that position. But there are certainly dedication issues involved with this. The thing we wanted to try to avoid also was that this non-resident fee is going to be based on the prior year's actual expenditures by the state, and we didn't want to get into a situation where each year we're going to have to come back and tweak that percentage. And so we ran the numbers straight on this, and to hold that revenue constant at the anticipated rates would have been about a... been about a 31% factor based on our current estimation of the revenue stream. And then the following year might have been 35, because it's going to, this rate, this non-resident rate,